alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Good evening. Khuyanand, Molweni. I'm Shahida Kali. Very happy to be back. And of course, I am having a conversation with a life coach this evening, and her name is Nariman Richards. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum salam, Shahida. Shukran.
So what is interesting and exciting for me is in the studio, we actually have two names of my mother's daughters. Oh. Because we are two sisters and we are Shahida and Nariman.
Oh, okay, mashallah.
So yeah, that for me kind of stands out, you know, and I feel like, okay, there's some familiarity almost because you have my sister's name.
Oh,
all right?
Shukran.
Afwan. So Nariman, as we spoke about, you know, a little bit off the air, I was saying to you, when we're talking about life coaching, we're talking about such a young concept of, and you know, there are different ways in which people approach difficulties and challenges and so on in life. And this is very young. Mm. So not as much is known about life coaching. I also feel like there is a great interest from our young people in life coaching. And so I'm very excited just to explore some of that with you, if I may. And perhaps to start off by asking, how would you define life coaching? Is there a specific definition for life coaching?
Yeah, Shahida, I think you're right. It is quite a young profession. It's only been around since the 1980s, and a lot more popular in the States and the UK. I think in South Africa, it's still relatively new and taking off slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Again, because I think people must get used to a new concept. And oftentimes people will say, but isn't it just like consulting, or is it not the same like going to a psychologist or a counselor? But the fundamental difference between a counselor and a life coach is that a life coach recognizes that there is nothing fundamentally wrong with their client.
Mm-hmm.
Another difference is that we deal with clients, not with patients.
Mm-hmm.
So we see the individual as whole, and we recognize that the reason why they approach us as a life coach is purely because a life situation has thrown them off. You know, it might be a loss, like we will discuss later. It might be they're struggling in a relationship. It might be in a professional business sense where they're having to make a decision around, do I stay at this job or do I move on
mm-hmm.
to another job, or do I go and open my own business?
Yeah.
So all of us have these forks in the road almost. Some of those forks are forced upon us, and some of them we flow towards them naturally and we get there and we kind of stuck. And then in that case, when we feel that feeling of being stuck and we're unsure, one of the places you could go to is to a life coach.
Mm-hmm.
I think the unique thing about coaching is that it's not about the coach telling you what you should do. It's about asking the right questions which reveals for yourself what is best for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing about coaching is that we do recognize that what has happened in the past has affected where you are now, but we don't necessarily go back in order to go forward. So we will determine the intention. What is your intention? I'm here now. What is my intention? Where do I want to be? And so we move from where you are to where you want to be through a process.
So you kind of establish, or the together with the person, you establish what the goal would be towards which you would work.
Absolutely.
That's what it sounds like for me. So perhaps just to, I read a little bit about essay coaching, I think it is.
Yes.
So perhaps just to tell us a little bit about the training that life coaches will go through. And again, I just feel it's so great if young people particularly are listening to the program, but even, you know, people who are in different age ranges might be at a place where they feel, again, I'm at a crossroad perhaps where I feel with all my experience, this is something that I can do.
Yes.
Like I meet so many people who will say, we want to study psychology, we want to study psychology, and often it is because of where they find themselves.
Yes.
And I'm sure, you know, a very similar trend could be prevalent in terms of wanting to pursue life coaching.
Absolutely.
Tell us about the training.
Yeah, look, the training, when I decided to do the coaching training, I did lots of research. The thing that stood out for me about essay coaching was that it was it wasn't so much theory as it was practical.
Okay.
So it was very interactive. I had a coach who trained me, who coached me and trained me at the same time. So he coached me on my own personal stuff. So it wasn't as if you were out of touch with the training. It wasn't a book exercise. It wasn't taking notes. It was real. It was being put basically in the seat of the client, and understanding how that client feels when you, as the coach, are asking the questions that sometimes we don't want to answer. Sometimes we don't even want to look at it. Because what a coach will do is shine a light on the areas that you as the client is turning away from. Because 9 out of 10 times, that's the thing that's going to help you shift. And it's the scary thing. It's the fearful thing. It's the change that needs to happen normally. And sometimes it's the truth about you that you must face. So I did a lot of research. I came across essay coaching. I invested in it. It wasn't financially it wasn't the cheapest option, but it was the best option, I think, because it was so practical. And it was over 18 months. And it was intense. Like I said, I mean, I was in tears sometimes because it's a dance, really, between the client and the coach, because the coach wants to move you forward. And sometimes the client doesn't want to go forward, although they're sitting there. The truth of our lives is that in order to move forward, we got to make some changes. And a lot of us are resistant to change. And when that change means that you have to change something, it's even more difficult. Because, you know, we like to point the finger to someone else. It's always someone else's fault why we are where we are. But a coach, that's the other thing. The coaches will hold you accountable and hold you accountable to yourself and your intention that you set at the beginning of the agreement. And we'll call you out on stuff. You know, it's a real, it's an honest, and this is the facts. Let's work through it, as opposed to trying to sugarcoat it and make it look all nice and rosy. Because nothing real, no real change happens in your life unless you face the truth about where you are and how you got there and take responsibility for your part in getting there. Because whether it's a failed marriage, whether it's losing your job, whether it's whatever it is, you were a willing participant in that. So you need to take responsibility for your part, and you need to forgive yourself when you made bad choices in that space, and then you need to find a way to move forward. And that's really what the coaching is about.
Okay, very interesting. You mentioned when people struggle with with acknowledging the mm-hmm. part that they play.
Yes.
And sometimes if a person was, for example, in an abusive relationship,
yes.
there's this fine line between if I take responsibility, does it mean that I'm to be blamed?
Yes.
What
yes.
are your thoughts on that?
That's very common because, you see, again, I want to say that abuse is real. And it's not something that we should tolerate on any level. But like you say, if you take responsibility, then are you not the one that's to blame? But there's a big difference between being the victim, playing the victim, and believing that you don't have another choice, as opposed to being in a situation where you actually can't see that you do have another choice.
Mm-hmm.
Because taking the responsibility doesn't mean that you were entirely to blame for what happened to you. The responsibility would be that, yes, I recognized maybe a year ago that this was an abusive relationship. Could I have done something different? Yes, maybe I could have. But the other thing that we also need to know is that we can always make a different choice. Just because we made a choice a year ago to stay, when we come into something like a coaching relationship and the coaching process opens up our mind and the lights come on and we recognize, oh my word, but I could have made a different choice. It's not about blaming yourself. It's about saying, well, I didn't know that then, but now I know it. So now I can make a different choice.
I often suggest to people, instead of feeling that you're judging yourself, to rather try and see it as I'm evaluating,
yes.
you know, the situation and the part that I played
Absolutely.
In it. Yeah.
yeah.
I just another question about life coaching, Nariman. Would there be particular levels of education in order to enter life coaching? Do you have an idea?
Look, when I applied to do my life coaching certification, there was no, I mean, matric was fine. You could come in and obviously the training coach will recognize if you have the skill.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you're going into the training, well, I don't know how it works with other coaching institutions, but with SA Coaching, It wasn't just about I'm coming to do this and so after 18 months I'm going to get. There was, you know, you have to go through a real process of being coached, coaching your peers in the class, being, you know, evaluated on that and recognizing where, you know, your blind spots are and so on. So in terms of education, there's no degree you need to have, or it's basically, someone that has the skill to be able to work with people and to be able to almost be a sounding board and you know, to be able to ask the right questions, be able to pick up from people's body language and, you know, when they are pulling back, when they not opening up. And, you know, so in the training at SA Coaching, those things come up, and you know, there's definite training around, okay, you need to be a bit more assertive here, or you need to let the client be a bit more lead the way in this. So, yeah, I think in terms of training, no formal training as in you need to have a university degree, no.
Okay, all right. So just also, do you, once you've qualified as a life coach,
yeah.
is there the need to have continued professional development that is required?
There is an international life coaching association that you you can become affiliated to, and if you are affiliated to them, then you must send in I think it's 40 hours of coaching. Every year you need to send them, you know, recordings or logged time and so on. So in order to stay part of the affiliation.
Okay. Well, it's very interesting, and I think, and thank you for the information shared, because there is such a great interest and there is an absence of enough understanding in terms of what life coaching is all about. Yes. I particularly take cognizance of the fact that you say that you would see your clients as people who are not ill.
Yes.
As people who are in a good space but have particular challenges that they'd like to overcome or work through or work with.
Correct.
Okay. So perhaps, you know, to mention some of the types of issues that you find. Is there a trend? I know relationships will always be top of the list of much of the work that many, you know, professionals do. But, you know, what have been your type of focus?
Okay. First of all, Shaida, I only coach women. Okay. So.
Is there a reason for that?
Yes, I think for me, when I went into coaching, I recognized that the relationship is built on trust. And so you build up this trusting relationship with your client. And in that space, you become quite, it's a vulnerable space for anybody to be in.
Yeah.
So I, as a woman, as a Muslim woman, and now as a married woman, I don't really want to put myself in a position where I'm in such a vulnerable space with another male. So that was my main reason for not coaching males. But with women, and possibly this is true for men as well, but first of all, everything is about relationship, ultimately, when we look at it. So I have women coming to me who are struggling in relationship as it is, either with spouse or with parents, siblings. But then I also have women, professional women, who are in corporates, who are struggling with those type of relationships with management or directors. Fundamentally, their struggle is really about their value system, because in a space like that, you often find yourself having to compromise your values. So, you know, when they come to me, they don't recognize this is actually about their personal value system. They're feeling compromised when they have to make decisions or they have to carry out certain decisions that have been made by management, which they have to implement, and it affects other people. Retrenchment process. It weighs heavy on someone who has who values that type of thing, who places people and their needs and on high on the value system. So if you're in a managerial or directorship position and you have to do that process, it goes against your value system, and now you're struggling, but you don't know what you're really struggling with. And so when we unpack it, what we find is the client is actually struggling with the fact that what she's having to do at work goes against what her personal values tells her is correct. And so how do we get from where we are now to we should like to be?
Okay. And so on that, Nariman, we need to take commercial news. When we come back, I think it's such an opening to the conversation of loss, because what you're referring to is the experience of loss in terms of, I feel a loss in terms of the values that I hold.
Yes.
So in that itself, it presents loss. And so that's, for me, a very good point that we can shift to the experience of loss and the meaning that it would hold in terms of the particular focus and to the person themselves. Yes. So let's go to commercial news. When we come back, we will continue with our discussion. I'm speaking with Nariman Richards, who is a life coach, and I'm Shahida Khali. So we're back on the air, and I'm Shahida Kali, and I'm speaking with Nariman Richards, who is a life coach by profession, and very interesting conversation. And I'm really, really hoping that people are listening who are interested in doing life coaching, so that they have a little bit of a better understanding. For me, significant is when a life coach explains to you that the client base would be people who are healthy people. And it's almost like in the field of psychology, and Nariman, when we have categories of psychology. So we have specialities. You have your clinical psychologist, you have your counseling psychologist. So for example, your counseling psychologist would be your psychologist who will work with life difficulties much more than your schizophrenia, yes, psychoaffective, yes, disorder, and so on. That would be in your clinical psychology domain. Then you've got your child psychologist and so on. So I think that is a very significant factor for people to factor in terms of when they're wanting to manage themselves.
Yes.
But we come back to, and I think this is the opening in terms of loss, you refer to two things. The one is relationship. When we use the word relationship, it can be in relation to anything that which is significant to ourselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that, I think, is something that we need to kind of hold at the back of our mind. What you then discussed or described earlier on is, and let's just go there for a second. The loss of what interferes with your value system will be, especially for people who find themselves as particularly a religious person.
Absolutely, yes.
It's hard when they are confronted with, my job is now feeling as if it is interfering with how I see myself and my religious values.
Yes.
What would be your conversation, and what would be your approach? Because it cannot be all that easy in terms of their own process. Because if someone sees it as a loss, how does one shift them from seeing it differently?
Well, I think, Shaida, you know, when most times when women come to me, right, they're feeling out of touch, first of all. So they know that something's going on for them, but they can't put their finger on it,
mm-hmm,
right? And so in the case of which we spoke about in the workplace, when women are confronted with their personal value systems as opposed to implementing corporate instructions,
yeah,
almost.
And feeling it as
a
loss.
And feeling it as if I'm losing part of myself in this,
yeah,
organization.
Yeah.
The process for me would be, again, we, first of all, it sometimes takes two or three sessions for them to, because remember, I can't give them the answer, even though a part of me can recognize it. The impact happens for a client when the light goes on inside of them and they see it for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like anything else. Words don't teach. You know, I can't tell you this is what you're experiencing until you actually feel it, and then you feel, oh my word, this is what I'm experiencing, you know? So sometimes it takes two or three sessions with the right questions. They eventually recognize that what's going on here for me is that I'm feeling torn between my value system, and like you rightfully pointed out, when it's a religious, when the value system is not only your personal values, it's also a religious value. Mm-hmm. It's even bigger, because now how do you reconcile that with what you're having to, you know, you're having to do your job, you're going to be performance managed on it. And so getting to that place is one thing. And then from there on, it's where do you want to be? Okay. So using that as an example, we could unpack the actual company. Is it what you want, where you want to be? Does it give you everything you need? What is it that drew you to this company? You know? So let's put that in the bank and say, well, this is what I'm getting from this company. And then, so if you're getting that, what is it that you're having to give up? Mm-hmm. So again, we come to the loss.
Yeah.
You're getting something, but you're losing something else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And ultimately, now this is where I'm saying the difficulty with clients is that when it comes right down to it, you've got to be very honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to be able to say, well, I'm losing this, I'm gaining that,
yeah,
and I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Or I'm losing this, I'm gaining that, but the loss is too big for me.
Yeah.
So now what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
There's a choice. Do I move on? Do I look outside for another job? Or do I try and get... Maybe it's only in that area. Perhaps it's not a corporate company culture. Perhaps it's a management culture in that area that's affecting me. Maybe going to a different department. So we get to, you know, we go to that place. But ultimately what we want to get the client to do or to recognize is, I'm here. It's not working for me. I'm so unhappy. But I know now why. And so what are my options? And I do have choices. So let me make the choice. And again, change is not easy.
No, change isn't easy.
So, so that's where clients find themselves, and then they have to make the difficult choices.
Decisions.
Yeah.
So I want to ask something that's a little bit different. With change and the and I see that there's a message that had come through. Let me just quickly touch on this. I'm going to read the message for you so that you can hear. It greets us and says, love the program. I think I'm one of the people who are resistant to change. I think, you know, just to say to the person, I think as we go through life, at different times in different points of our lives, dealing with different types of issues, I think all of us will be resistant to change.
Absolutely.
Somewhat. So there's no blame in that. I've now reached the point where I understand that I need to make changes, but I don't know where to start. Time management is also a huge problem for me to get balance. I always feel like I don't have enough time. Where do I start? And I just want to say on this message, when you read the message, remember our focus is loss. You read the message and you feel the loss of the person, the loss of the part of me that needs to find things, understand things, and kind of, you know, effect my change. You feel that and you hear that from the person. I'm really proud of the person who sent in the message, and really just to say you're not alone. There are thousands of people who are in this space, and it's such a human space to be in. But I want to come back, and I'm just checking the time. I'm wondering whether we should take more commercial news. We have to do that when we come back. I think we'll probably have about 5 more minutes to speak about. And I'm being told that we can continue with the conversation, and eventually we're probably going to go until about 8 o'clock. So I want to come back to when you're confronted with the truth, it can be very anxiety provoking.
Yes.
For some people, a lot more than others. For some people, for different reasons. So for example, if it feels huge for me in terms of my religious relationship with my creator, it can bring about acute anxiety, it can bring about panic attacks, as all a part of this whole process. Is there a point in which you recognize that it is, in terms of managing the person's situation, that a referral would be appropriate?
Yes, no, absolutely. In fact, in the coaching agreement, which is normally set up front,
mm-hmm.
there is an understanding that should that occur, that there would be a referral to
another professional.
Yeah, absolutely.
In fact, you know, the even in my work that I do as a clinical psychologist, we work in terms of multiple teams with life coaches, with dietitians, and so on, depending on what the focus is of the difficulty, because we know, as you said earlier on, change can be very debilitating. It can be very overwhelming for people.
Yes.
How and I understand that you would have had many different clients, but is there a client situation that stands out for you where they had particular difficulty when they acknowledged the issue for them? Is there a client that stands out?
I think all clients. And I experienced this personally when I was being coached in my training. The point at which you actually, you know, I think Oprah calls it the aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
When that happens to you, when you recognize, oh my word, you know, I have been a party to this, you know, I am responsible. And, you know, as much as I want to be playing the victim here, I was part of that relationship, whether it's in the workplace or whether it's in a personal space, whether it's with your spouse or whether it's with your child, when that aha moment happens, when you recognize the part that you played that brought you to the place that you are now. It's huge, and it's for everyone. It's huge because that's an uncomfortable space to be, and that's what I'm saying. The client coach relationship is a vulnerable relationship because the coach gets to see you at your most vulnerable, mm-hmm. and he or she sees that look on your face when the lights come on for you. And you know, so all of us experience that differently. Some of us get sweaty palms or your mouth goes dry or you know. And so is there one particular? No, I think for me, all my clients, that is the point where that actually now means now we can move on. Now we can go forward.
Okay.
Because until you actually see that, you actually just still wanting someone else to fix the problem.
So I think what you're describing also is acknowledgement, but acceptance thereof. And acceptance for me is always that which starts the wheels
Absolutely.
Rolling
yes.
in the direction of recovery.
Yeah.
And what a sore place to be, but what a wonderfully profound place to be in terms of realizing what is real for me. So I'd like to read another message that had come through, and it says, again, thanking us for the program, and the person is a 34-year-old male. At home and at work, I struggle with relationships all over. I find I just don't fit in with everyone. I sometimes try, but there is not a lot of common interest. I find it easier to have conversation with people much older than me, but I struggle with communication sometimes. For this reason, I avoid staff functions. So I just want to get to this, and unfortunately we're not really going to have time to respond in this program. I'm going to have to go back to the person and respond to them in my next part of my program. But I just would want to say, you know, perhaps I should just give you the opportunity to just kind of succinctly share your thoughts that you'd like to share with the person. Yeah, just the thoughts that have come to mind in terms of what would you want to say to this person?
Well, look, I think, first of all, judging ourselves and beating ourselves up for who we are is not the place to start, right? I think we must also recognize that all of us are not the same. We don't all socialize in the same way. Some of us don't feel comfortable in a surrounding where there are lots of people. The coaching relationship will also if that's something that a client struggles with, it's accepting your own values, accepting who you are, and unearthing that for yourself and saying, okay, well, actually, this is who I am, and I'm okay with that. So acceptance, I would say to the listeners who's actually written in, accepting that that's okay. It's not necessary. It doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you.
It doesn't always have to look the same. Yeah.
So you find people that don't like to go to social functions because of the interaction. That's a personal choice.
But I think as you mentioned earlier on, it will take a proper assessment and probably a few conversations to understand. It's about uncovering why. It's about uncovering what is the issue really, and once you know the issue, to know, okay, so if I know the issue, is it something I have to change? It needn't be something that you need to change.
Yes.
It can be completely fine. I think sometimes we put ourselves in particular boxes. I mean, there are very many people who prefer to be in the company of older people, even marry, older spouses and live a very, very happy and fulfilled life.
Yeah. Look, I think, Shaida, I think also, generally, we struggle with society's, what society has defined as the perfect individual. And for different cultures, that definition is different.
Yeah.
So when there is a picture that you are measuring yourself up to, inevitably you're not going to tick all the boxes.
Yeah.
So, but if we can recognize that picture was just created by a society who's decided that that's what a perfect person should
look like.
It's not true necessarily for you as an individual.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think somewhere I read, even in the information that I read before I had the program, a reference was made to normal. And I thought, okay, well, normal is different for different people in different circumstances, in different contexts, in different eras. Normal can be so different. What is interesting for me about this young man is, if you are unhappy and uncomfortable in terms of where you're at, then certainly I think getting to understand why, so that you can move to a place where you can be happy about your situation. And again, as we would have said, does it mean change need to happen? Perhaps it is just an attitude in terms of how you see yourself that might, you know, just help to bring about change that you so desire. I think I'm at the end of the discussion. It was such a lovely discussion. Nariman, shukran for being a part of the program. I've been speaking with Nariman Richards, a life coach. Shukran and assalamu alaikum.
Shukran to you.